This is Jason Bruno with Pain Assassins, and you're listening to the Detail Solutions Podcast with the one and only Alex Russell.
Alrighty, welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My guest this week is Josh Felder. Welcome, Josh. How are you doing?
Good, Alex. How are you?
Great, man. Hey, so obviously I introduced you. But for the people who don't know, let everyone know who you are, where you're from, what you do.
Right on. I'm Josh Felder. I'm the owner of Detail Addicts. I'm in Stuart, Florida. We recently were in Northwest Indiana, but have moved back to my hometown of Stuart. So I'm an automotive detailer and a recent product manufacturer, or attempted one.
It's a good product, though. That's for sure.
Thank you.
So explain to everybody, or let everybody know the hows, the where, the when you got into detailing. Let's get your backstory, your origin story, as they say.
Ooh, the beginnings.
Yeah.
So my background's actually a little bit of in, out, in, out, in, out. I started out getting into detailing from when I was in the Marine Corps. I came back from deployment. My Mazda 6 got crushed in storage and I had to get a new car. I ended up buying my first Mustang, which was a blue GT from 2006. And it looked good, but like it didn't look like the $15,000 car I had just bought, how I imagined. And I was like, how do I fix this? So I started reading and learning and reading and asking a bunch of questions. And I literally went to AutoZone and bought one of everything. And went and used it on my car. And I was hand polishing, compounding in the sun by hand. Like I did everything the wrong way, the painful way. And that's how I kind of learned. And then I got out. But detailing was kind of like a good therapeutic thing for me. It let me kind of focus a lot of my attention and a lot of my desire to perfect things that I couldn't always perfect.
Right.
So it gave me this outlet to that. So I got out and I just, you know, started getting into it more. I ended up living at one point, man, not even a block away from Auto Geek off Jack James Drive. And nice. I remember just every other Saturday, I'd, you know, walk around the corner and I'd go see Cars and Coffee and stuff. And I'd go ask Mike like 40 billion questions. And he'd always be like, you should just come take my class. And I'd be like, I'm broke, but yeah. I can come bug you for 40 questions every other weekend. And he'd chuckle and answer them. So that's kind of how I got into it, was kind of backdoorish from like the amateur enthusiast side. I didn't come from like body shop or painter's world or anything like that. I learned from trial and error, a lot of reading. And believe it or not, as much as everybody craps on YouTube, you can learn a lot from YouTube.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Listen, I mean, as much as he's hated, Greg Masterson has taught me a lot in the beginning of how to at least, you know, get an idea of what I was doing. Because for me, when I was learning it at the car wash, everybody was still using rotaries. Nobody was doing this. And I didn't know a lot of detailers who were doing paint correction this way. And at the time, Masterson and Chemical Guys was the only people putting...
They were jamming
out there. Yeah. Yeah. So when did you start Detail Addicts and actually become like a legit business then?
So Detail Addicts formed when I was working for AutoZone Corporate. I had been part-time detailing. I owned a business called Supreme Clean at one point where I had left AutoZone and failed. That was a mobile business and I got my butt kicked in Florida. Right. I didn't even know what an APC was or what it stood for. That's how far off I was.
Nice.
But Detail Addicts, I was doing a flood recovery in Houston from when the hurricane hit a couple of years ago. And I remember I was in AutoZone. I was supposed to be one of their top supervisors and I'm in here doing this, you know, relief damage and there's no AC. I'm sweating my balls off, pardon the French. I'm ripping drywall and said, I'm salvaging this, I'm gutting that. And I remember standing there thinking, I have to do the payroll, I have to manage all the employees, I have to do all the reports, I have to order parts, I have to get it done. I don't get paid. I didn't even get paid 50 grand a year. And I'm one of the top guys. And I was like, I don't get paid enough to do this. Better part yet, every customer that walks in and is like, hey, I want to learn how to detail my car a little bit better. They always get sent to me, no matter where store I or what state I'm in. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is right. where my heart's at. And I literally walked outside on break and I looked up how to form an LLC in the state of Indiana and, you know, started buying insurance and everything. And they're like, what are you going to call it? And I'm like, and I remember it popped in my head. My roommate, you know, meant it as a joke. He's like, dude, you're into detailing so much. You're addicted to the stuff. And I was like, right. I'm a detail addict. Okay. And it just clicked. And I just blurted that out over the phone. And she's like, all right, fill these forms out, submit your payment. And in less than an hour, I had a legal form business. I wasn't even in the state. I was in Texas still working for AutoZone. So I kind of weaned myself out and started going more into the detailing. And I left and went full time June of 2018. And then 2019 was my first full year, full time. And then 2020 was my first, you know, what I like to call the true year, because right. that first year is, it's, you never know what you're getting into. You're right. like, what's a Wednesday like in my business?
Right. You kind of wake up and you're like, I don't have anything to go to work for today. So I'm going to,
I don't even know what content I should be creating or trying to make posts. So I'm just right. going to go play Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. So let's jump into to Platinum and Diamond for a minute. And I mean, we all play around with different combinations, you know, putting product on pads and seeing how it goes and everything like that. So how did that come up for you? And how did you translate it into like making a product? I mean, I give you credit because I mean, I can put a couple of things on a pad and say, well, hey, this works pretty awesome, but there's no way I'm going to be able to figure out how right. my three dots and my two dots make a full bottle.
A product.
Yeah.
So, I got inspired when I went to the first Southern Detailers Conference and I met Billy Bagus in person.
Right.
And we chatted for a little minute and I got to ride on the bus with Justin Lobato and Sean Sepulva. And I just remember being around these guys who were doing their thing. And I right. just remembered, I took from it, I was like, there's more than just detailing. What am I passionate about? And I remember Billy telling me, he's like, dude, I found, it didn't matter. If it was glass cleaner, it's glass cleaner. What am I passionate about? What do I want to go on? And I remember the recent thing that I was super upset about was buying polishes and hating them or just being let down by the hype. Like, right. this is the great, like, I was told 3D speed was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And to be fair, it is in a very niche market.
Yeah.
Dealership work, you know, low baller stuff. And it, but it wasn't sold to me that way. It was sold to me that you can do this, wipe it, and put a ceramic coating on, and your life's good. Right, exactly. the back working and the quadruple work I was doing was really kind of a learn table. So right. I had really become deep in the polish, really learning about abrasives and different types and stuff. And I remember driving back from SDC saying, I'm gonna try this. No, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna try to make something and see if I can make something that, even if it's just for me, right. I like it. And I started playing around with this and that and started really getting into it, but it didn't really click till one night when I was putting, you know, my drops on my pad and I was mixing and I was working on, you know, I think it was a Chevy at the time. And I was trying to one step, you know, get some of the cut out, but I wanted to gloss it at the end, refine right. it out and walk. And I dabbed it on and I started to do it and I stopped for some reason. I looked at my pad and I saw that the blend didn't happen right. I had some purple over here and I had some yellow over here and they weren't really blending, but in a spot or two.
Right.
And I thought, and I was like, huh, I just started. And then it dawned on me, that's not mixing. That's not mixing like I think it is. And there are spots that are getting more abrasive and there are spots that are getting less abrasive.
Right.
So no wonder I'm having spots and hazes and stuff like that. It's not blended right. So I need to start trying it together and then applying it. And that really is what kind of started down the rabbit hole of figuring out blend ratios from, you know, heavy abrasives to mid abrasives and what you can put together.
Gotcha.
And what will still refine out. Because if you put, you know, an extra ounce of something and people are like, oh, you just fudged an extra ounce, it's no big deal. You've changed the whole chemical makeup of a 16 ounce bottle if you're making it, you know, 1 ounce is, you know, a little heavy on one thing.
Right.
16th of that is completely changed, and the and what it's going to do is completely changed. So right. That really sent me into I have to get dialed in on this because things weren't working. And I made five what I think were it after getting all of that info of these are my things I think they're going to be the next wonder hit. And it was number right. three. Platinum came out to be blend number three. The other two just, they were horrible. The first two were horrible. And that's what started Platinum. That's so what everybody got in the little 4 ounce bottles. Right.
So you weren't necessarily just putting three drops and two drops on a pot.
I was in the beginning when I was regular detailing. And then when I realized that wasn't going, right. I then figured out what the ratio of 3-2 or 4-2 and what combos I wanted to put of how many different things.
Right.
Because I've seen people put three different drops on of three different things on one pad.
Right. So you were actually figuring that combination out and mixing it into a bottle, shaking it up, and then putting it on a pad to see how it worked kind yes. of deal. No, oh, nice.
Yes.
See, that's way smarter than I would have done because I would have just did the three drops and two drops on a pad and been like, works.
But you're not getting that blend, you know what I'm saying? No. It's not
I get it. I mean, that definitely makes sense. Oh, that's pretty cool. And then so when you say Platinum was like number three, so then once you kind of got it, then like kind of what was your next step as far as
what did I do with it?
Yeah, like what to do with it. I mean, how long did you kind of sit on it before you started giving us all those little 4 ounces? Because I was lucky enough to get one of those little 4 ounces of version one in the beginning before you actually like put it in a labeled bottle and everything.
About a good 3 months to kick off, to be honest. The first month was me being scared.
Right.
The internet is hellacious. Detailers are rough on products, on the reputation. And I am not the most tactical person or tactile person when it comes to my tongue, and at times I'm prideful. So it was really sketchy if I even wanted to make a product for the masses.
Right.
I was like, okay, what if this was just for me? So I gave it to a buddy of mine, Dan Serwinski, who was a detailer and tinter nearby. And I was like, hey, play with this. Tell me what you think. You're like me. And I got a phone call, the next day, and it was like, dude, what is this? I made this, remember? You need to make this.
Right.
Okay, funny. And then I gave out a few other bottles to a couple of the local paint and body shop guys and stuff. And they were telling me that they absolutely loved it, but they didn't want to switch from what they were using, which a lot of them are wet sanding up to 8,000 grit in that area and then polishing. So I was like, I'm not going to interrupt your system. So at that point, I started pondering on it, and I had to get the materials. And that's the hardest thing. And it's not, getting bottles and labels and stickers and stuff. And, designing that stuff is one thing, but getting the actual raw ingredients at a price point that doesn't break me, because when you give out 4-8 ounce bottles of something, no one's paid me for that.
Yeah.
I had to get all the bottles, labels, and materials, mix it all together. And I need to get it at a rate when somebody's like, you don't make things. Why should I discount, stuff to you? So I bought it full retail.
Gotcha.
All my ingredients. And I did it, and I started making a list on the third month. And it was, what do we need to get the right reviews? And the right reviews give me the right information. I need people who are highly experienced, such as yourself, people like Aaron Knox, people who have knowledge on stuff when they can just pick it up, use it on a few different vehicles, and then give me data on it.
Right.
I don't want to hear if it's good or bad. I want to hear, why is it good or bad? It's too smeary and oily. It spreads all over the place, Josh. It's not thick enough. Okay, thickness. It cuts great, but on harder paints, it doesn't cut this hard on the Saudi. Okay.
Right.
Lobato. Hey, I got pigtailing on a Chrysler. What is pigtailing? I have to go look that up and understand fully why it's happening and stuff, and then try to adjust what needs to be adjusted and what doesn't need to be adjusted.
Right.
If you get pigtailing on one thing, on one issue from one time, it's not a real problem to deal with. It might be user install.
Yeah.
But then I did a Chrysler and I had pigtailing. So there was the tweaking.
Gotcha.
After the R&D group. And that's when I had what was something worth to bring to market at that point. So it took almost 4 months grand total before I had enough data from everybody back that I could make my tweaks and stuff and then try to even just start something.
Right, right. And it all, I mean, talking to you now, I mean, I know you say, I know for you, it probably seemed like a lifetime, but it seems like it came together like in a pretty timely fashion. Because I mean, when I met you, SEMA, this time last year or week ago, whatever, last year, you had only given maybe a few bottles of it out at that time, I think, that you told me. Did it break up? So at that point, you had only, from what I realized, is that you hadn't given out to a ton of people at that point.
SEMA was bigger for me and my product and brand than people understood. That's when the deal went down for me to be able to get the materials at a discounted rate to actually make it viable.
Gotcha.
I didn't have the answer to the very last day of SEMA at the very last hour from my distributor that I needed it from. They strung me out the whole show and everything. Just, they already knew, they were just playing with me.
Right. Because I remember when you told me about it, I remember you said you were supposed to talk with them. And I don't know if we can mention it. I mean, most people kind of know what it is.
I don't care. Okay. It's a debate. It's kind of like the hype word that I use when I use the word hybrid. That's another fine. Battle.
I mean, because one of my questions involves bringing them up. So I just didn't want to bring them up if you didn't want it brought up.
I'm cool with it. Go for it.
All right. Well, it's down the line anyways. But I remember you telling me that you were talking with them there and you weren't sure which way it was going to go. Like they might have told you to cease and desist, or they might have said, how can we help? Kind of deal. So, and then again, I mean, I would say first of the year, you were down here for Mecum, like January-ish, because it was before MTE, and that's when you had full on bottles. I remember you giving me a bottle when me and Jason were doing the Hellcat. You gave me a bottle for us to try out because I still only had the small bottle. And I knew that wouldn't get us the whole car. So you gave me a full bottle to try out, which it ended up working great. Nice. So why did you sit on Diamond for so long? Because you pretty much had Diamond from the get-go, about, right?
So Diamond was, as soon as I had version 2 or 3 of Platinum, however you want to call it, when I had it fully dialed in, I had Diamond in version 2, not released to anybody, fully dialed in a month later. The problems came from multitude of reasons why I ended up sitting on it. One, I am one man trying to do the marketing on a $0 shoestring budget type of thing. The materials are vastly expensive. And people don't really trust new products when you start whipping them out that fast. They really want to try and they want to see that you've been at this and that something that you have is a genuine product that's gone through testing. It's got, you know, it's got everything developed on it. It's not just half thrown together.
Right.
And that was kind of the hindering points between whether we even could come up with the capital to do it. And then would people trust it after just releasing the first thing when they're still in a confusion of, why do I need this wonder polish? What do you mean it's filler free, but it doesn't need 2 steps, or you could use it as a 2-step. It's confusing when you're not really into this stuff. So I sat on Diamond just trying to let Platinum get out there and people understand what my products were about and how they worked and how everything was good, because now I can literally just tell people Diamond is just the heavy cut version of Platinum. It's still filler free and it still refines itself back, and it just has a hair more dusting than Platinum did, which if you've ever used Platinum, there is a light bit of dust. It's minute.
There's so hardly any.
It's really hard to tell people that. Also, you can use Diamond in hardened situations such as Audi, Chevys, things that have hardeners in the clear coat. That's what Diamond was originally designed for. Gel coat, things that people are using Platinum for, but it's not quite getting all of that bite. That's what Diamond was meant for. Gotcha. So can you use them together as a 2-step? Yeah. Does it look amazing? Fantastic. But that wasn't the goal of this. I didn't make a dedicated compound and a dedicated polish. I'm trying to give you 2 different variants you can use to get whatever the job's done in that same efficiency.
Right, right, exactly. And I've tried the sample of Diamond, and it actually, if I'm not mistaken, and you might remember better than I, so Diamond is the product that I used on that oxidized blue hood from my mother-in-law's car that actually yes. got me to second round of paint correction of the year last year.
Yes, I remember that one.
Yeah, it was Diamond. One. I did Diamond and a Rupes wool pad. And then I think I went over it with Platinum and a yellow pad, if I'm not mistaken, just to kind of finish it down a little bit. But it really didn't even need, honestly, the Diamond was finished down. Like you said, it finished down really nice.
You're just doing that extra gloss pop you're trying to chase, which...
Right, right. Because I was entering a contest that... The bigger the difference, the better the result. Even though that old stinky Bill Martin beat me out.
To be fair, it was a good contest. I mean, it was. But actually, what I was going to say is one of the things that I like to tell people that they don't seem to understand is you don't always need to use my Diamond and then my Platinum. Sometimes right. you can use like Sonax Perfect Finish or Angel Wax's Perfect Polish. A really low, no abrasive, and like a black Lake Country pad or something with like a jeweling pad.
Yeah.
And it'll pull that gloss pop you're looking for, and you really don't need to go back at it with more abrasive. If you've got it corrected and there's a slight haze, I mean, minute, you don't need much. You really don't.
Yeah, and I honestly think the only reason why I did it was just because I wanted to see, because there was a little bit of micro marring from the wool pad. So I felt like it needed a little bit more cut than something like a polish would have really done. And then in fact, since we're talking about winning stuff, so actually my first paint correction of the month was on that black truck that was Platinum and actually a Rupes yellow pad to get that for that, because that gentleman only had a budget for a one step after he took a rotary to it himself. So I figured he already did all the cut for me. I just had to polish it down. So I mean, there's been a lot of things that Platinum has really surprised me with over the past year that I've been using it. So how did the conversation go with your supplier to get them to allow you to use their product in making your own product? Because I would honestly think, like, I mean, if you came to me and you said, hey, Alex, I'm going to take all your stuff and I'm going to make my own and I'm going to profit off of it, I would be like, no, you're not. Like,
so the initial approach wasn't actually that way. I think my initial idea was really childish and dreamy. I actually decided to go to them and was like, you should make this and give me a fraction of a percentage royalty profit for every bottle that sells. And right. I'll go around and promote the heck out of it. And I just got a smile and a no.
Right.
I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, can I make it? Because people still want it. I was starting to have people ask me in other countries for it. And I was like, I can't even imagine this country right now, let alone that country or this country. But let me see if I can make it. And there was a long delay and they were thinking about it. And you have to remember from their standpoint, there's a myriad of risk. When it does come out what the ingredients came from, some people may care, some people may not. It's not a white label, as in like it was done by them, given to me, and I rebranded it.
Right.
So they have an inherent concern, because what they don't fully understand is how it's going to work, if it could damage something, if it's going to possibly degrade their reputation for amazing products that they like to deliver on. So there was a lot of gamble on their end if they wanted to do that. So we had to do what I like to call the soft, hard release, where, you know, it went out and it went out quietly initially, and we started getting the initial feedback and stuff. And that's kind of when it was 5 gallons here, 10 gallons there, really small batches, and, you know, just trying to get the word going so I could have the evidence to show them and go, this is it, guys, this is stuff, this is worth putting our time and energy in.
Right.
And then I finally got the green light from them and was able to push forward and whatnot. But the only reason I haven't told people who my ingredients come from, because honestly, it really doesn't matter. Most, I've heard Rennie, I've heard Billy, I've heard a lot of people talk about this, and they speak the honest truth. If you knew where your ingredient sources came from for all of your ingredients, for all of your products, you'd find it's like the antifreeze in the car battery world. There's like 3 to 5 manufacturers for certain things, and they make everything.
Yeah.
Who touches it then and then passes it off, let other people touch it along the line is fine. It's just business. That being said, people are snobbish, and my ultimate end-all goal is to remain that this is my product from thought to R&D to creation to bottling to labeling. If anybody's got an issue with it, or if there's an issue, it should be solely reflected on me and not the supplier and their brand.
Right.
That being said, if it does amazing, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I couldn't have eaten without them. Without their, you know, even to just a willingness to play ball, we wouldn't be here. So
yeah.
I get it completely. And it's been a fun ride with them. And I wouldn't honestly change how the path has gone.
Right. And like you said, you know, with the whole chemical thing, it's like I always kind of refer to ceramics in the sense that ceramics are kind of like oil, motor oil, right? Like it all comes from pretty much the same place, right? Comes out of the ground. Yeah. You know, I mean, Mobil throws their additive in it. Valvoline throws their additive in it. It's the same thing with ceramics. The ceramics come from 3 or 4 ceramic companies in the world that make ceramics for everything, not just cars. And then these car detailing manufacturers throw in whatever they need to throw in to make it work on automotive paint and that type of stuff. So no, I agree with you. And again, I mean, when I found out, when you told me what the product was, I was actually a little excited about it because it is something that I use. It's something that I like. So I knew that it was good. I knew it wasn't just, you know, you running to AutoZone and grabbing whatever was in the $2 bin and, you know.
Yeah. The main thing on that is it had to be high quality ingredients.
Right.
It's like anything in life. If you make a good dinner, if you use the best ingredients, you're going to have some of the best food tasting. If you're going to use the best car parts to build a race car, you're going to have some of the best results. Same thing with polish. If you use cheap ingredients, they're only going to go so far. And at the end of the day, I honestly invented this polish in all truth. I will always tell people this. To be selfish, to have a product that none of y'all had for Paint Assassins, so I can finally have something to secretly win one of these contests, because I've never won. To try to beat Bill or Aaron or you and just have something that you're like, how did you do that in a one step? Call me later or not.
Right.
But no, it's if you really, you know, just knew what everything was, I tell people to look into Johnson Controls. And that's a fun company because they make a lot of stuff for cars.
Right.
I like Advance. No, I like O'Reilly's. You'd be surprised how much Johnson Controls and Dorman make that both stores carry.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. But the ingredients, who makes it, what it's made out of, that's the important part. You don't care what store it came from as long as it was quality.
Right. Quality parts for quality. What's the line? Quality parts for good American people or something like that.
Ours was Get in the Zone, which.
Yeah, no, I was going for I was going for the Tommy Boy reference, right? Dan Aykroyd's like quality parts.
Yeah.
I can't remember right now. Yeah. So in any of that, with them, did any of the did we glitch?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right, we're back. With any of that, was like, did you give any of platinum to the people here in the U.S. that are controlling for that company, and to kind of get them to sign off on it and kind of give you the thumbs up towards the brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I sent a bottle when it was unfinished. You know, we didn't have a label. I just had a nice bottle to put it in and a cap. I sent that to the head guy. I sent to his two guys that are in his chain that he really relies on heavily and that he's friends with. And then I sent it to the top of the tiers when they came to America. I physically put a bottle in each of their hands, signed, and it was like, whether you use it to enjoy and see what it's like, or you just put it on a shelf, these are yours. Thank you, guys.
Right.
And their chemist even gave me some feedback, and that's how we actually ended up at version 3, was the slight feedback he gave me from that. And that told me that they played with it and nice. They like it. So, yeah. So you definitely got to give an homage bottle to the people
when,
that help.
When are you getting bought out for millions of dollars then?
Man, I don't know if I ever want to get bought out. I like this. This is fun.
Nice.
Even spending hours blending and reblending and reblending to make sure everything's, you know, perfect right. in every bottle and bottling it and getting splattered and polished. I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's like something to do on your days off that you enjoy.
Right. Well, that's when you need to just tell them to hire you then, and you'll just go work for them. Yeah. As in the chemist department. So what are your goals for platinum and diamond? I mean, is this just like I'm platinum and diamond and I'll just kind of be cool, have fun with it? Or are there going to be next other steps to it? Or is platinum and diamond going to, you know, have a
support structure?
Yeah. I mean, are you going to put some other things to it or, you know?
So, I do have aspirations to do more things in the future. I think, you know, instead of just releasing 40 billion things, I really want to let my brand and my products start out with these two things and let them speak for us.
Right.
A lot of heart and, you know, passion and who I am went into the creation of these things. They are my first two. Let's let them stand for a minute and stand strong. As far as pairing them with things, I have thought about trying to do like a pad lineup with some companies or whatever, because it's great to tell people you can use a lot of varying pads and stuff, but right. sometimes it's also good to give people certain pads you know is going to get really amazing results every time.
Right.
So, but again, that all kind of falls down to money and timing and not wanting to release, again, so many SKUs off the line. So the goal is... believe it or not, the initial goal is brand awareness and getting sales up to get into distribution levels with some of the bigger distributors. They require a certain amount of years of the product to be out. They right. require a certain amount of sales dollars per month. They require a certain amount of generic posts from you, the user. What I mean by that is certain companies that sell things don't want to have to make a bunch of posts and videos and talk about products. They right, want the product exactly. to sell itself already.
Right.
So for me, we have to get these two products to that point, which involves basically brand awareness, marketing, and convincing people to try something that right. they've probably never heard of. So that's the first hurdle. From there, we could then move on to other stuff, but that's the main hurdle we got to accomplish.
That's cool. So changing gears just a tad. You touched on it a little bit in the intro. So recently you moved from somewhere cold, Indiana. Is that where you said?
Yeah.
To Florida, back home. So what was the reason for the change?
So the change actually was kind of a culmination over a few years building. When I was detailing there, it was a town of less than 1,000.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, it's really tiny. When people used to tell me that they detail in a small town, I had a hard time not laughing when I met people face to face, because when they tell me it's only 20,000 people, I'm like, that's 20 times me.
Right.
I'd kill for that. So you can only do so much work. And especially when you're known as one of the coding guys, you can only code so many vehicles before you burn your market up.
Right.
From there, winter drags on for a good 6 months, where even with the heated garage, it's really bad. Slush, snow, ice. People don't take the nice things out. People don't care about the winter beaters.
Right.
So when you go down for 6 months and then Corona kicks in on top of that, it really put us in a financial bind, because we just lost our flow of consumers. And I was having people drive over an hour one way just to get the jobs done, which was amazing to have clients want to do that.
Right. But
at some point, you have to realize you're not located, you know, good for your consumer anymore.
Gotcha.
So that was kind of a struggle. And then my roommate decided he wanted to, you know, overtake the garage and have more race car space. And I decided it was time for me to kind of head out. So he kind of gave me a 30 day. I wasn't expecting that in June or May of last year and or this year, sorry. Yeah, May of this year. And I kind of just packed up everything I could as fast as I could, made as quick of a game plan as I could to kind of get down to an area where I thought would be detail, you know, detail friendly.
Right.
So back home seemed to actually be it. Sunny Stewart, Florida.
Yeah. Well, there's too many of us down here. So go back.
No, I'm from here. You can't tell somebody who was born here to go back.
Yes, I can. You left for long enough. No, I'm kidding. You're like 3 hours away from me, so it doesn't really matter anyways.
The House of Mouse has disowned you. Be gone.
Yeah, exactly. So this question I take from Austin Scarborough, because I thought he asked a really good one when he actually interviewed me a couple of weeks ago. But just like I did with Cody last week, I've decided to change it from here on forward. So if you could go back and give yourself advice when you were first starting your business, what would it be? So the what I know now, I wish I would have known then kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Don't start in Indiana with 1,000 population town.
That would be very solid advice. But honestly, I was able to do that for almost 4 years, part-time, full-time, on off. So
right.
I wouldn't say that that's it. In fact, that's actually a fuel to my fire. When people say I can't do it, you can do it in a lot leaner conditions.
Right.
My personal advice to me would be patient. No matter how amazing you are, what amazing freebies you give to the community to generate word and do all of this, there is no formula to shave off years, off decades worth of time to make have 10 years worth of experiences happen in 2 to 4. It doesn't right. work that way.
Right.
You might get 10 years worth of experiences down in 7 to 8, and that's amazing, but it's still 7 to 8 years at the best. If you're going to do something, it's going to take time, and you just need to remember that. And that means slow days. That means bad days. That means good days. And that means days that you wish you never got into it, but you got to be patient and keep pushing.
Exactly. Do you have a buffer put down date, or are you just going to ride this until you can't go anymore?
A buffer put down day? I don't understand.
Yeah. So do you have like,
oh, the day I like, stop polishing.
Right. Like I'm going to do this until I'm 50, and then at 50, I'm done because whatever, or like I said, are you just going to ride this until the buffer puts you down?
No, I'd probably ride it out to life. Even if I got my products and it literally took all of my time and I literally could only pick up a buffer 2 times a year, I'd still pick that buffer up.
Right.
Detailing is kind of my zen place. It was when I got back from Iraq, something that really kind of gave, like the phrase, there's something about motors that just calms me down. There's something about perfecting paint that just puts a smile on my face and clears my mind. So no matter what, I'll always find it, and I'll never stop.
That's awesome. So who are some detailers that you look up to or that have mentored you?
So the list is actually going to be long, but I'm going to give you a short, previous one. Jason Robert Otterness and Greg, I'm not even going to try. I always mess up his name, from Chicago Auto Pros.
Uh-huh.
They gave me my big shout outs and started giving me ceramic coating jobs in the $2,000 to $4,000 range before I even could get accredited. They really tried me and gave me trust. Tommy Ramos Davis and Vincent Gentile. Both of them were really cool. Whenever I wanted to ask a question, they never made me feel horrible for asking a question. And at the same point, whenever I kept annoying them for questions, because I'm just addicted to learning things in this industry,
right,
they would get me that info. And the last three are probably the biggest three without people realizing it. And it's going to be Billy Bagas, who inspired me to do my own products. It's going to be Don't screw up his name. Rick Vanderlee. I always say that his name's wrong. from Angel Wax, who actually, you know, took the time out of his day to trust in me to do stuff.
Right.
And the last one's going to actually be Donald Ludwig, who's a detailer who does the Meekum and the Barrett Jackson team. And he's the one that actually told me in the very beginning, don't sell other people's products. Sell your own product that you believe in.
Right. That's awesome. It's awesome.
So those are my list of all-stars that I would always give a shout out to, and they mean the world to me.
Nice. So this is a new question. You're getting it for the first time. So we'll see how it flies. Who is someone you'd love to sit down with for an hour and pick their brain? Doesn't have to be detailing. Alive or dead, we'll play it that way. You know, kind of the whole, like, who would you like
you to have dinner with? You made that too easy. No, see, because, you know, yeah, you made that like, too easy. They're allowed to be dead. Dinner
with, kind of question.
Ken Miles. The only person that I would ever always want to sit down with at any point in my time in my life, I'd give up the rest of my life for that hour. Ken Miles, the racing driver. That man created more historical cars that I've fallen in love with, that I admire, and that man always pushed the limits of racing when nobody would. So, Ken Miles.
That's a good choice, man. That's a good choice. Not to say that it's...
It's not Gandhi. I mean, I didn't choose, the public winning award.
Right, but see, that's somebody I could get in line with, right? Like, that's somebody that you would make me think, like, damn, that's a good choice, but I don't know that it would be off the top of my head, like, the one that I would pick.
Who would you pick?
You know, I don't know, man. There's so many.
You could go philosophical or spiritual, or you could, like, go with a president and go with, like, historical.
You know, I don't know. So sentimental right now in my life, I would probably want to sit down with Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
I'd like to just sit down and listen.
I can get behind that.
Talk guitars, talk music. Even though it's been forever since I've picked up a guitar and played, like, he has still always been an inspiration. Yeah. You know, Michael Schumacher, I mean, even though he's kind of still alive, you know, I'd love to talk to that guy.
His career's dying.
You know, I mean, you know, he did a lot for Formula One. There's a lot, man. It's hard, you know. So for you to be able to pick one, like, that quick, like, dude, that's
Well, you got to remember, too, I also got to, at one of the Meekums I did, I got to do the Flying Mustang. I got to touch the one that Ken Miles, the only Mustang Ken Miles actually thought was worthwhile, the racing prototype that he actually designed helped design.
So. Right. I remember you were telling me about that. You showed me.
As a Mustang fan, that's easy. When the one guy who hates the car you love likes one.
Right. So what are some of your goals for 2021? And this doesn't necessarily have to be totally
business.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be platinum or diamond Detail Addicts. It could be Detail Addicts, the business or whatever. But yeah, what are some of your goals for 2021? Granted, we have a 2021 if we all survive 2020. Yeah. We still have another month and a half to go.
Fingers crossed we make it.
Right.
So I'd probably say getting a place again, whether I decide to find a place to rent or buy a home, which, God, I'm nowhere close to buying a home. That's funny. But a home-based business, or to get a shop, to stop being mobile again, so that way I can do my coatings and I can get back to creating content. That's really hard. And that's something I want to get back to. I used to make so many videos from trying to give guys tips and tricks to, like, advice on, I need to buy an extractor to start a business. I can start your entire business for the cost of a mighty 8070 with that fancy attachment for $1,200. Right. I get you everything you need to go. Like, I miss doing that. So I want to get back to content creation. I do want to get more into polish and making that, but also I'm really passionate about getting the word out there. So I want to find a way to get back on the road to meeting detailers and to going to events and talking to them and getting the product in their hands and getting them to see just what I'm talking about, and why sometimes, even if I can't put it in words properly, why this detailer has lost his mind and decided to dang near put the whole farm on these things and tell you it's worth it, guys.
Right.
Seriously. And it's not worth it for everybody, because I know that there are products and styles and stuff that not everybody jives with. But if I can help and find that one detailer who these products could benefit them and make them more efficient and happier, that's a big win for me, because I help somebody like me.
So right, right, exactly.
That's made my goals, as simple as that.
That's awesome. All right, so something I started with Austin, I carried it on to Cody last week, and I'm going to carry it on with you. I've got these like 7 questions. They're this or that. The object is, hopefully you haven't listened to those episodes yet, to know the questions. So the objective is to not think about it and just quick react. All right. So interior, exteriors.
Exterior.
Rupes or flex?
Oh. Rupes.
Windows or washing and folding towels?
Washing and folding towels any day of the week.
Damn, man. I'm the only one so far that's picked windows.
Dan Serwinski will do windows, the tint boy. He loves glass.
He's a tinter. He's used to doing that.
Yeah.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Lighted shop shots.
Really? Why?
From a photography standpoint, there's less going on in your foreground, background, so you can actually see the panel, and I can see with less of the lag and this and that. It also is less light intensity. Sometimes when you're looking at the thing and it's lit up, if it's not a super shiny metallic paint job, it hazes back out with all the light overflash, and it just, you lose what, I'm not seeing what you're seeing all the time if I look at certain parts. So if the lights were a little further back, it pull it all together.
Right. Well, I notice, and I guess when I say lighted shop shots, I'm talking like those guys that are like
the Tuttle.
Yeah. You know, I mean, which listen, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm getting ready to add a whole bunch of lights in my shop, because I do think that the LEDs give it a little bit more of that WAP look.
Yeah.
Versus when you pull it out in the sun doesn't kind of give it so much.
Well, that has to do with the light spectrum and the coolant temperature of it and stuff. If you're having more of a cooler white or warm.
I'm still always a sunshot guy. I still think cars look so much better in the sun.
I remember listening to a video. I say listen, because I put it on and kind of went and did something. But Mike Phillips and somebody were talking about going into people's shops. I think it might have been Bruno Meisel, the auto geek driver wrench guy. They were talking about going into amateur detailers and pros and having them like, all right, light it up like you're about to get working, and having to put sunglasses on immediately and telling them they need to delete half these lights.
Yeah.
And I remember listening that sometimes you can really overdo it with light and it can mess with your eyes. So as much as I like to say, you know, lighted shop lights, within reason, the tunnels are cool, but sometimes there's just too much in the tunnel.
Tunnels are cool for pictures. I don't think they're good for correction work. I mean, obviously, so Danny Chung gave me the best analogy of why you should detail in the dark that I've ever heard. And I think it's perfect. So what he told me was like, when you go to a jewelry store, right? Because obviously they have all the lights shining on the jewelry. Did I lose you?
Yeah, for a second.
So when all the lights are shining on the diamonds, right? To make them pretty and shiny. But what are the diamonds sitting on? They're sitting on dark cloth, dark blue, black, because you want your eye to focus on the diamond. If they were sitting on white, you would lose the diamond and all that shine. And so that's what he was explaining to me when you detail. And that's why people, you know, typically painting their shop walls dark grays or blacks, because you don't want that reflection off of your white walls. You know, you want to have a lot of your shop lights turned off, so you're just using that one, you know, whether it's your Scan Grip or your Harbor Freight or your Husky, whatever, you know, your point,
your phone, who cares?
Right, exactly.
That's a good point, is painting the walls. I have people go see my shop. 90% of all the walls were as dark black as you can get. And I only had teal and a body line that was above where the glass met the door panel on most lifted trucks. So that teal was above that even.
Right, so it's looked not good, reflecting on your paint.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why I did mine dark gray. I really kind of wanted to do it black, but my landlord said,
it's sometimes too dark.
Well, yeah, but the landlord said, when you leave, you got to repaint it white. And I said, well, what if I went in with a dark gray? And he goes, yeah, you're good. And so
we went dark gray. I'd do it gray too, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so mobile or shop?
Shop.
And the last and most important question, this one's a toughie one, Team Alex or Team Noxie? So the last one, Team Alex or Team Noxie? Did I lose you again? So last one and most important one, Team Alex or Team Noxie?
Team Alex, always better than Noxie.
Suck it, Noxie. I think Nox was messing with the internet connection there because he didn't want you to answer that question or something.
We were having such a great run right up until that last question. It's like somebody knew.
I'm telling you, Noxie knows. He knows all.
He's bugged your phone.
He probably has. So, all right, Josh, that's all I've got, man. We almost did a full hour, which is almost longer than normal. We probably hit about 50
people
minutes
make it
or so.
To an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is like some people have asked me to do longer, but I feel like that 40 to 50 minute time frame is enough.
There's got to be an organic flow to where you want to keep listening and it doesn't feel like it's
right closed. Right. And again, I mean, if I was doing a podcast kind of like the Pints and Polish guys, when they kind of do their after hours kind of deal.
Yeah.
I think they call it the lounge or whatever, you know, and everybody just loads up in the lounge. And Marty just pulls people on here and there. Like I was watching them during the whole election thing. I mean, and those guys went on to like, I mean, I checked out early, but Giancarlo and Bruno told me they went to like 12:30 Eastern time.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, they can go on and on and on. And I know a lot of guys are like, dude, I kind of wish it was a little bit longer because I listen to it while I'm detailing, you know, kind of thing. But again, I get people like Bruno who listens to it in the car. And so he like listens to half of it on the ride to work and then the other half on the ride home. Jackie or
Bruno could move further away and then his trip could be longer and he could enjoy more of it.
He could. Even Jackie Orlando, who I had on last season, she told me that usually anything over 30 minutes, she doesn't like to listen to, because again, she only listens to car rides and she likes to listen to it in the car ride, kind of be done with it, and not have to pick it back up later. So yeah, that 40 to 50 minutes, I feel is pretty good. We're probably at that 50 minute mark. And then I got to throw on the intro, the outro and the new theme music we got going on.
Yeah.
The theme music this season is out. The more and more I listen to it, I love it. You know, and I'm not just saying that's because my daughter came up with it. It's actually, I think it's pretty awesome podcasting
it's
song.
The evolution of the podcast. It's just, it you know, every it season it's going to get better and better. And so
every episode I hope gets better and better. And again, obviously, I mean, I'm not doing this for any fame or glory. It is for me.
It's fun.
It is. And you know, the whole thing of it was for me to be able to meet people and get to know them better or meet them for the first time without kind of sliding into a DM and be like, hey, I want to be your friend. You know, it's like, hey, be on my podcast and let's talk and then let's see how it goes from there kind of deal. You know, so again, it's more for me to meet people I look up to, people I admire, people I think that are doing cool things. And then everybody else who jumps in and listens to it gets to meet those people as well. So hopefully everybody's having fun with it.
That's a good point too. It lets everybody who doesn't always get a chance to meet and chat with everybody a chance to a glimpse as if you were sitting there listening or talking to someone you wanted to ask. where did you come from again, by the way?
Right,
you just got your answer.
And again, you know, most people are like, oh, why don't you have, you know, so-and-so on, or this guy or that guy? And I'm like, because that guy, everybody knows about that guy. He's been on a million different podcasts, you know, or she's been on a million different podcasts. Like, what questions am I going to ask that are going to be any different than, so that's what I like about, you know, the, you know, to use Billy's terms, the people in the trenches, you know, kind of the faceless, man. The faceless detailers that, you know, and again, it's the people that I see that I think are doing a killer job, or that I look up to and admire for some reason, that aren't celebrity detailers. And not to say that I won't ever have celebrity detailers on, because I did. I had Levi and David Patterson on for the training thing, which was awesome. I've got the one for this season. I really think, I'm not going to spoil it. Sorry, not going to happen. I've got three really good guests lined up for this one. And I've got a really great topic that I think, you know, if the episode goes as good as it's going to go, I think everybody in the whole detailing industry needs to listen to it. If that's the only one you ever listen to.
If I wasn't already wanting to listen to that episode at this point with the way you've described it, now I have to like save this on my phone. It's like, you know, drop everything you're doing. This is.
Yeah. Well, you know, go to iTunes.
The build.
Hit the subscribe button. I mean, come on, man. I mean, how hard is it to subscribe?
I'm a Spotify guy, but I've already got
Spotify. Yeah. You could hit the subscribe app on Spotify. Anchor, which is where I do all this, is owned by Spotify, so it goes to Spotify before it even goes to iTunes. It takes like 10 minutes before it loads to iTunes, whereas as soon as I do it on Anchor, it goes right to Spotify. So cool. All right, Josh, I'm gonna cut it off there, man. I appreciate it once again. Last question, the most kind of important one: if people want to get a hold of you to find out more about Platinum and Diamond, where can they go? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans, Snapchat. Where are they finding you?
Facebook, you can find me in a lot in detailing 411, Pain Assassins. Drop me a message, send me a PM.
Yeah, but how are they going to find you, dude?
That's a good point. Use my cell phone number, send me a message, and we'll link up. It's 219.
Okay,
I'm about to give you my cell number. You can always message me.
All right.
219-296-5039. I said again, 219-296-5039. Send me a message or a phone call. Tell me who you are, and we'll link up on whatever platform, from TikTok to Facebook to, I don't do OnlyFans, sorry, but whatever you're doing, and we'll figure out in chat.
Okay, but on Facebook, how are they finding you?
Oh, Joshua Felder.
Thank you.
Sorry.
you're like detail 404 paid assassins. Like,
I figured everybody knew who I was at this point in the game. Joshua Felder.
Hey, you gotta understand, I've gotten, thanks to Esme, I've gotten some people that are listening to us in about 39 other countries. So
you know what? I would blank mid-conversation on people's names too. So that's not a bad point, actually. Joshua Felder, that's who I am.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Again, as always, I appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did too. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alex. Have a great night.
All right, buddy. You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That was Josh Felder with Detail Addicts. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I think it was pretty good hearing about how he was able to blend some products and come up with his own chemical, which, like I said, I've used numerous times and absolutely love it. It's a great product. You guys should check it out. Next week, we'll talk to somebody. Haven't decided yet, so stay tuned for that. And again, please, anywhere you're listening to us, please subscribe, like, send us a review. Just helps us get better recognition. So you guys have a wonderful evening, day, week. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye.